of the team
in
we've
progress.
Got DDG Alan Zimbwa, who is with the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agent, MISA. From our side, we also have Mr. Morwani, Walter Morwani, who is also a provincial program manager of MISA in the Northern Cape. My name is Abinah Ramadie. I am within the department itself in the unit local government operations and support, and I am responsible for the Northern Cape, honorable member. And also, I don't know if this is my place, but when I went through the list of attendance, I see that the Deputy Minister for Traditional Affairs seems to be amongst us, if my perception is correct. But I think that will be upon the chairperson to recognize the Deputy Minister as such, if indeed what I saw is correct. Yeah, otherwise, the three of us, as I indicated, is DDG Alan Zimba from MISA, Provincial Program Manager from MISA, Mr. Morwani, and myself, Abinah Ramadie, from the department itself, responsible for the Northern Cape. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, for that. I assume that you will be the one who...
That is correct, Honorable Mkiva. That is correct.
Thank you very much. I think if that then is the case, you have finished with your introduction. I see that the Deputy Minister is here. I would like to acknowledge his presence and the introductions are concerned so that he gives us the political overview and preface to the briefing that we are expecting from COGTA. For now, let me allow the Minerals and Energy to introduce themselves, just to acknowledge their presence. I know that they are here more so to observe the discussions. Minerals and
Panini.
Energy.
Panini.
Just hold on, Mr. Nana. I'll come back to you. I've noted you.
All right. Thank you.
Are the officials from Minerals and Energy here, Amanda?
Please check your WhatsApp, Chair.
You are not answering the question, though. You are just telling me to watch. It would be helpful if you are just responding to the question.
No, Chair, they are not on the platform.
Okay. All right. No, thank you very much. Honorable Nana, I don't know whether you wanted to say something before I give over to the Deputy Minister to lead the department.
umzukulwana kaNcamashe eza kuthetha ndikhahlele kuqala nje azwele yathi
oh chocolate
uyamosha wena Jolly Ngomo asikonga sebuhlandi apha. No, thank you very much. I guess that was on a lighter note, and actually, if things were in line with the African decorum, that could be much the protocol of the House. However, we're still bound by the rules as they exist right now. Honorable Deputy Minister, I will now give you the opportunity to lead the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs as we are here to consider the briefing by your department. We are quite grateful that you have come in person as part and parcel of the political leadership of the department. And this is much appreciated by the committee and the honorable members because it is not mandatory, but it is ideal that it's done. But if minister or deputy minister can't make it, it is quite understandable. That's why we are quite appreciative. And I guess this is your maiden appearance to the select committee. And we are quite content that you have taken time to come and be part of this presentation. I therefore take this opportunity on behalf of the select committee to welcome you and give you an opportunity to address the select committee. Over to you, Deputy Minister Prince Zwelile Zweliajika Benznamashe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Select Committee. I should also perhaps follow suit in terms of observing the tradition. Though the Honorable Chair has indicated that we are bound by the rules of the House, I nonetheless believe that every rule, regulation and legislation is subject to the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa as the supreme law of the land. And in terms of Section 39, subsection 3 of the Constitution, customary law is recognized in the same power as the English common law, as well as the Roman Dutch law. And we are encouraged to promote it, hence its application by courts is directed in terms of Section 212 of the Constitution, courts being recognized in terms of Section 166E of the Constitution. So I therefore believe that by recognizing you as Tabulu Luandle, I would not be compromising the decorum of this honorable committee. Safe to say, it will be more about affirming our sense of identity, especially in the month of May, being dedicated to the continent of Africa. In those few words, I greet members of this committee, I greet everyone, and on behalf of the department, which is led by Minister Thembi Nkadimeng, and of course, with the two deputy ministers, my colleague being Deputy Minister Pax Tau, I really wish to take this opportunity to appreciate the opportunity of presenting ourselves before this committee and indicate that us presenting ourselves before this committee, we don't take it light. We understand exactly the importance of the oversight function and what is expected of us in terms of accounting before Parliament for the work that we are doing as the executive arm of government. And today, we are here for purposes of briefing this committee on the assessment of the upgraded infrastructure of Rechtersfeld community to the municipal standards of to complete the deed of settlement. And the officials of the department will present more comprehensively as to what is the current status, Honorable Chairperson. With those few words in appreciation of the time limits, I would end there and also indicate that respectfully, I would urge that I be released probably at about 10 o'clock, as we have a cabinet committee to attend. Thanks very much once again, Chairperson. We are always indebted into presenting ourselves respectfully before any committee.
I think the Deputy Minister got cut at the tail end of his remarks.
Thanks, Chair.
Owing to the instability of the network. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I think we are thankful and grateful that you made it. We shall be obliged to release you as your request so that you go and attend to some of your items of your diary today. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Deputy Minister. I now wish to invite the designated official from COGTA to lead us in the briefing.
Thank you very much once again, Honorable Chair, Honorable McKeever, as well as all honorable members and colleagues. Of course, my Deputy Minister, Deputy Minister Ngamash. I have also observed, Honorable Chair, that there's a colleague from the Department of Public Enterprises who had always been working with us on this project. I saw her name. It was only DMRE that was required to introduce themselves. So I just thought I should also highlight that, so that their presence is also recognized.
No, by all means, we can give them an opportunity quickly to do that.
Okay, thanks, Honorable Chair.
Kindly introduce yourself, invited official from Public Enterprise.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Maroma Mutengu. I am with the Department of Public Enterprises, and good morning to all colleagues on the platform.
Thank you very much, Sister Noted, and we welcome you, and thank you for coming through. Over to you, sir, then you can take us through the presentation.
Yes, thanks once again, Honorable Chair and members. Can I just confirm if the presentation is appearing on your side?
Yes, the presentation does appear here.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Members, Honorable Chair, colleagues, for the opportunity to come in and present ourselves to this August committee on this very important task that was assigned to government with specific responsibilities assigned to our department. We will be taking you through progress, providing some background, particularly for the benefit of new members, other members of the executive who might be new to the subject matter. And this is basically the outline where we will look at the background of where this project comes from, then zoom into the key elements of the court order, the deeds of settlement. And then we will follow that with the implementation process following the directive of this committee to COCTA a couple of years ago, indicating the outputs of the memorandum of understanding that was entered into as part of the mandate that was given to us by the select committee. We will then look at the process plan for the technical transfer of services and progress that would have been made in that respect. We will then highlight some of the outstanding issues, Honorable Chair and members, and the remaining challenges that we have been experienced in this process. As we go towards the end, we will then look at the geostrategic position of this region, Rechtersveld, as well as the municipality itself, in terms of how we have viewed it in terms of the district development model framework. And then we will then go to recommendations. I think there's an omission there. We should then be indicating what it is that we are doing as national government, particularly led by COCTA, in terms of supporting to the municipalities, to this municipality specifically. Honorable members, the project of the deed of settlement arises from a land claim which was lodged by the Rechtersveld community. The Rechtersveld community is located on the southwest tip of South Africa, just bordering the Namibia in the north, and going along the coast almost up to Kleinsee, Hondekleby, on that Atlantic coast. This community made a claim for their land, which was granted, and then we will look at the timeline and I will speak in detail about that. Now, this court order arising from case number LCC 151/1998 stipulates all the aspects that needed to be addressed by various players, various stakeholders, issues that needed to be complied with in the process of executing the deed of settlement. And briefly, the contents of the deed of settlement can be roughly divided into two main components, two main categories of execution. It's important that we keep this in mind as we continue with this work, particularly ourselves at the technical level. The first one speaks to the establishment of entities and business formations, which are spelled out in the deed of settlement, and the subsequent transfer of the land and assets to the CPA, to the Communal Property Association. And that is contained in clause 6 of the deed of settlement. And the responsibilities are primarily borne by the state mining company, which is Alexcor, and the parent department, which is the DPE, as well as the department responsible for land reform and restitution, which is the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. The second component, which is key, is around ensuring that the township of Alexander Bay is formally established in terms of prescripts that govern local government, and to ensure that the transfer of land and assets to the home municipality of this community, which is the Rechtersveld local municipality. And that would also have spoken to the handing over of municipal functions from this settlement, which is run by the mining company, to the local municipality of Rustenburg. Some of the assets would then, in terms of the deed of settlement, have to be transferred to various organs of state beyond just the local municipality. Chair, we have depicted here a timeline of events from where the land claims was lodged to a point where this very committee engaged with ourselves and other departments to give us the marching orders as to what it is that needs to unfold. The claim was lodged, as I indicated, in 1998. It was initially rejected, but then the Rustenburg community appealed in 2003, and the Supreme Court of Appeals ruled in their favor in March that year. Alex Gordon government tried to appeal to the Constitutional Court in 2006. However, the community won ultimately, and the agreement, the out of court agreement settlement, which was penned together in 2007, was then made a final and binding deed of settlement, indicating and containing all the details of the responsibilities to the various parties, as I indicated, and this was made an order of court in October 2007. So between 2007 and 2017, there were various attempts to try and execute this court order. However, there were noticeable delays, which were hampered by a number of factors, including changes of management across the various players, but also instability within the CTA concerned. Based on this concern of the slow pace of implementation, the Select Committee invited us together with the DPE and I think Rural Development to receive a feedback on progress, and disappointingly, there had been very little progress registered up to this point, and the Select Committee gave a directive and resolved that COPTA must then take the leading role in executing this deed of settlement, and our agent, Municipal Infrastructure Support Agent, was appointed to manage and facilitate the process. We thought it was just important to go through this timeline to give context of where this project comes from. From the timeline above, honorable members, it is very clear that there was very slow implementation of this deed of settlement, as already indicated, occasioned by factors that include changes in the management of the local municipality. And with this, we are not just giving an excuse. We are speaking to the consistency of engagements that would have had to take place between the stakeholders and with some of the changes, some of which were occasioned by elections, would then have caused this delay. AlexCor itself has had a number of changes at its management level, and that also affected the process. I've already indicated that the presumption of the deed of settlement is that you will have in place a CPA that is functional, that is responsive to both the legal prescripts as well as the mandates given to it by its members. However, we have not had the benefit of a functional CPA for this specific project. I have already indicated, Chair, that in November 2017, this very committee convened these stakeholders that we are indicating there, National Treasury, Rural Development, ourselves, and the DPE, to get progress. And disappointingly, once again, as I indicated, the committee was not impressed with the pace of this process. And therefore, as COGTA, we were given this responsibility, which we then requested MISA to lead, because the process, particularly of the handing over of assets and functions that would ordinarily reside with the municipality by Alex Gore, is a very technical process. And therefore, MISA stood in good position from our side to be able to execute that. Chair and honorable members, here we are depicting the key elements of the deed of settlement, and we have tried to make a distinction between them by indicating responsibilities that would reside primarily with our department in cooperation with other departments. Those that would fall directly under our responsibility are painted green, and I will speak to them. And otherwise, the others would have been functions of other processes, including legal processes that gave rise to the deed of settlement. What I can indicate in terms of those that we are not directly involved in is the matter of cost, which is the very last block on the chart. The deed of settlement stipulates that the cost for any of the processes that are outlined by the court order would need to be borne by the state, whether it's disbursements, subsidies, but any financial processes, any processes that would require financial support would then ordinarily be borne by the state. And I will come back to that matter as we proceed with the presentation, Honorable Chair. Now, coming to those that directly have to deal with us, it is the issue of the land and the transfer to the CPA, which we are responsible for partly, together with the Rural Development and Land Reform Department. Transfer of land and assets to the municipality, which is what we are primarily seized with as COGTA. However, because of its impact on other processes, we then have to be working with other departments and role players. The township establishment, which is primarily our responsibility, in fact, the responsibility of the municipality and the district municipality, supported by ourselves. And then there's a transfer of land and assets to the state. We will speak to that in a while. Environmental affairs, environmental matters are important in the sense that the transfer of responsibilities to the municipality must also comply with the environmental requirements of the environmental legislation, an array of pieces of legislation that govern environmental wellness of the country. And then there's an aspect of the government development programs. We will speak to that, I think, in the very last slide. I think the last three slides or so. We thought we should just indicate these key elements. Now, in pursuance of the instruction that we received from this committee at the end of 2017, a meeting, an inception meeting, was arranged with all the stakeholders to spell out what needs to be done to fast track the transfer process and the obligations borne upon all of us by the deed of settlement, which was already, I think, beginning of end of 2017, beginning of 2018. The terms of reference for the task team were developed. We put together a steering committee, a project steering committee, which was chaired by the Office of the Premier, by the Director General in the Office of the Premier. And then you had the Director as well, the handover task team, which then reports to the project steering committee. As part of the implementation of this task from this committee, we had to enter into an agreement, an MOU, which was to serve as a binding instrument for all of us to become responsive to the obligations of this court order unlike what had happened in the past. And this memorandum of agreement was signed by the parties that are on the left hand side, as I'm indicating there. Director Assad, local municipality was part of that. Alex Kaur, the DPE, the Office of the Premier, the provincial department responsible for local government, as well as the Namakwa district municipality in which the Rechtersveld local municipality falls. Otherwise, on the right, we've got members that would have been part of this committee who would, as and when required, provide information and be given tasks that they needed to execute. The outcomes of the memorandum of understanding that I made reference to, Honorable Chair and members, identify the following areas of implementation as part of the execution. The first one would have been a service level agreement, which was to be signed between the company, the Alex Kaur Mining Company, and the local municipality in respect of the provision of services that were to be established in Alexander Bay Township. Secondly, the upgrading by the mining company of relevant municipal engineering services to the required municipal standards. The municipality was expected to submit written standards on municipal infrastructure, or alternatively to provide an outcome of an independent process that says for the municipality to be able to take over engineering services, this is the standard with which they need to comply. And then thirdly, it was around the transfer of certain properties within the established Alexander Bay Township from Alex Kaur to various entities of the Northern Cape provincial government. And then a list of all equipment that are currently or previously used by Alex Kaur in the maintenance of services in the Alexander Bay village, and for that equipment to be transferred to the municipality together with the agreed terms and conditions. Chairperson, my apologies. I seem to be projecting a less updated presentation. If you can just give me a minute so that I stop this one and upload one that has got other components that I seem to be skipping. My apologies for that, my humble apologies for that. If you can just indulge me for a minute, please.
No, that's fine. We will take a commercial break. For one minute.
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. My apologies for that. Yeah, I just need to take it to the, yes, thank you very much. Yes, I was on this slide, Honorable Chair, thank you very much for your indulgence, where I was indicating that a project steering committee was established, which was chaired by the Premier's office through the Director General, which was then tasked with the oversight of the handover process to its completion. And then underneath it, we had a task team, which I then indicated to act as an implementing agent, which is what was spearheaded by MISA, as I indicated. And then there was a memorandum of understanding that I spoke to. And specifically in terms of the role of MISA, MISA served as a facilitator of the technical process. As I indicated, the bulk of this task would require engineering capability in support of the municipality, but also in ensuring that the handover process does not overload the municipality with a burden of infrastructure that is substandard. MISA then assumed the chairpersonship and the secretarial role of this process and provide some technical and legal support in terms of special planning aspects of this process. And as I indicated, MISA would then chair the task team and the committee. This is just a pictorial depiction of the working arrangements that we had back then. I think we will pass that one. I had already gone through the essence of the memorandum of understanding. Safe to say, Chairperson, that this was actually an instrument that sought to bind us and to impose upon all of us a sense of responsibility to respond to this deal of settlement in protecting the municipality from an unfair process that would then burden it with infrastructure that is substandard. We then agreed on a process plan, and these are some of the key elements, key activities in terms of the outcomes. We tasked ourselves with ensuring that as part of compliance with the deal of settlement, there is a review of the spatial development framework for Rechtersfeld, as well as the review of the land use management schemes, because the court order would have had a very direct impact in terms of land use and land use types and classifications. And part of the work that would need to ensue would have needed to be preceded by this process to make it a legal a process such that the municipality can then have a lawful SDF also integrated into the SDF of the district and the provincial SDF and land use management schemes. There was a responsibility also to evaluate the social facilities to ensure that the handover of the human settlements and other amenities that go with the human settlements do comply with the human settlements guideline on the social facilities. We would then also embark on the investigation of individual title deeds and uses and recommendations for rezoning. The importance of this one would also have meant that when the community gets handed over in terms of services to the municipality then needs to start billing the community directly, unlike in the past where the billing would have been preferred to Alex Core, the mining company. And therefore, it was going to be important that we start to desegregate the title deeds to make sure that this one belongs to person A, this one belongs to stakeholder 2, and so on and so forth, so that we also do not make the municipality suffer in terms of revenue management because of the delay in the execution of the deed of settlement. Agreement on the transfer of properties. I've already indicated that the deed of settlements mandates us to rather government to transfer properties to the appropriate user in the state, either a department or another state component, and then strengthening the communal property association for more functionality. And I think I spoke to that in the earlier slide. Now, in terms of progress, we did what I indicated above in terms of township establishment, ensuring that the land scheme, the land use schemes are developed, adopted, and are taken through the required legal process. So the establishment of the township has happened and was concluded and handed over to the Rechtersveld. Now what that means is that in terms of your demographics, in terms of the population of the municipality, in terms of how the municipality, the extent to which the municipality can utilize part of the land which used to belong to the mine, that has now been addressed, at least at a legal level, in terms of legalizing the establishment of the township, and the kind of services that would then need to be required to be served, to be rendered in the Alexander Bay Township, can now be done so legally, particularly up to a point when the finality has been reached around some of the key components on that. So land use scheme has been developed, has been adopted and gazetted in 2022. The SDF is currently in review. It is currently in phase three, which means it is at an advanced level. And then that one of the district can also not be completed until the SDF of the local municipality has been sorted out. But we are confident that process will be concluded very, very, very soon. As soon as this one of Rechtersveld is finalized, then automatically the Namakwa one will also be done. In terms of the district, we are already at the level of stakeholder management on the comprehensive SDF. We then have this region which has been identified by the government as the Karoo region, which spawns Honorable Chairperson. Towns and municipalities in the Eastern Cape, Western Cape, part of the Free State and the Northern Cape. And as part of the requirements for zoning that region as a specific zone, an SDF had to be approved for that particular region. And Rechtersveld is part of the proclaimed Karoo region, and therefore work has already started to be done around incorporating Rechtersveld, but also ensuring that the benefits that come from that development initiative are also accrued to the Rechtersveld local municipality. The provincial SDF has been adopted and gazetted in 2020. Now, in terms of the specifics, the technical transfer of assets and services, honorable chair members, specifically means the handing over of municipal engineering services from AlexCorp to the local municipality, and includes all the normal municipal services, water, sanitation, electricity, energy, other forms of energy, that is, roads and storm water, cemetery, solid waste and water treatment works, parks, community facilities, schools, and so on and so forth. Now, immediately after the instruction from this committee, the task team sat down to resolve what up to that point had been sticky points between the municipality and primarily AlexCorp in terms of the handover. After several meetings, we can indicate to this committee that we then reached an in-principle agreement which then guided the process of the handing over of the municipal engineering services from AlexCorp to the municipality. By now, we had anticipated that process would have been completed. However, the delay was caused by the fact that during the 2021 era, including the COVID era, AlexCorp had financial challenges, and therefore were not in a position to fully finance the upgrading of the infrastructure to the required level, as had been spelled out and agreed to in the memorandum of understanding, as well as between all the parties that are involved. But also changes in the management have delayed the process. The CEO that we used to work with at the time, who came with us to the Select Committee back in 2017, is no longer with them. There has been an interim CEO. So those are some of the impact of the changes of the organizations that are concerned. Regarding the transfer of properties designated to the state use, we had identified schools, police station, and the hospital for them to be transferred from AlexCor to these particular relevant departments. The schools have been taken over. What was outstanding was the maintenance that the Department of Education was supposed to provide a list of maintenance requirements on the school that AlexCor had to implement. The hospital has been resolved, and part of the agreement was that because provincial treasury had invested, I think, around 20 million about 4 or 5 years ago in upgrading this hospital, which was run by the mining company, then they were given the responsibility to start ensuring that it does not get dilapidated, it is in full use, and they are currently working on a plan to ensure that it does not become a white elephant, primarily because government had invested in its upgrade. Part of the challenge with the hospital also, Honorable Chair, is that this is the hospital in Alexander Bay, but there is also a state hospital which is recently built in Port Nolloth, which is the capital of the local municipality. And therefore, a lot of thinking has to go into how then do we utilize the two health facilities within that region, such that they do not become underutilized, they can work for the benefit of the people of Rachtersfeld and Namakwa broadly. I think specifically, if I may come into the and my apologies, we did not list those specifics of some of these services in this slide. Around the refuse removal, partly this has been handed over to the municipality. The municipality is now servicing Alexander Bay once a week, despite the fact that there has not been a final handover as well as the license for managing the landfill site in AlexCor. So work has already started to be done, as I say, except that the process has not been completed. The Department of Fisheries and Forestries and Environment is on board to support the transfer of the license. There's also the issue of asset registers. I'm just reading from the note that I have here. The asset register, a process to desegregate the assets, is also underway. I will speak to the electricity one in the next few slides. And then the road network, a comprehensive research process was undertaken by the district in terms of what is the priority of roads that need to be tarred, that need to be resurfaced, that need to be paved, that need to be regraded. We now have a fuller picture as a team in terms of those needs and the costing thereof. What we can also happily announce, Chairperson, is that AlexCor is currently installing, or in fact has actually completed that process of installing prepaid meters in Alexander Bay, 450 households, so that by the time the handover takes place, the municipality does not struggle with revenue management and billing and all those kind of challenges. Also, the indigent list is in the process of being updated, because AlexCor has handed over a list of service recipients in terms of the Alexander Township over to the municipality, which we think is fair progress, despite the fact that it has taken a long time. Consultation is also ongoing. Now back to the slide, is ongoing around the possibilities of utilizing buildings for other than current use and to ensure zoning them in accordance. And that process of the SDF will also assist in that process. The hospital, as I indicated, there's processes at provincial level, discussions as to how best to utilize that facility now that you also have a recently built health facility in Port Maloff. In terms of the compilation of the final list of Ervin, which would then be congruent with what we have in the Surveyor General's office as well as the DIS office records, MESA has completed the final list of the formal ERF numbers, assigned them to owners, and those that need to go into the municipal database have already been done so. In this process, we have also identified what we call problem ERVEN or problematic ERVEN. Problematic ERVEN would, for example, Chair, include a facility, one, an ERVEN that does not have a clear custodian, a clear owner, or an ERF or a combination of ERVEN that are assigned to a wrong owner, or in terms of the deed of settlement, would be assigned to an owner, a new owner, who would not have use for it. Here, example, the deed of transfer gives the fire station in Alexander Bay to the CPA. And therefore, the question then arises to say, is it best that it is in the hands of the CPA, or is it better that it is in the hands of the local municipality? However, that is already contained in the deed of settlement, and we've got to think around ways of reviewing that if we can. The transfer process to the municipality primarily requires, Honorable Chairperson, a functional CPA to conclude certain agreements and commitments as the custodian of the assets that were bestowed upon this CPA by the deeds of settlement. I had indicated initially that part of the delay was as a result of the dysfunctional CPA, and we can understand the challenges around new ownership, the contestations that arise as we have seen in other parts of the country around the CPA. And once we identified as a task team the functionality of the CPA as a critical success factor, we then tasked the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development to initiate a process of stabilizing the CPA, which they did by appointing an administrator and therefore placing the CPA under judicial administration. They appointed an administrator in February 2020 after obtaining a court order to do so. The department had to go to court to ensure that it is not litigated against when it intervenes, as it had happened previously. The administration, the judicial administration of the CPA ran from February 2020 to February this year. And the assessment of the department is that the CPA is now regularized, which means it is currently empowered to take full responsibility of its affairs and execute its fiduciary and governance responsibilities since February this year. However, we do remain cautious because we understand that this is a contentious process. There's a lot of interest which are in contest, in competition, but also, Chairperson, and I think this has previously been presented to this committee. There would also be legal people who then are taking advantage of the contestations within the CPA to their own benefits and would then litigate even in instances where such litigations were not warranted. So we are saying, yes, we are at a point where the CPA is now regularized, and therefore we are optimistic that it will henceforth be able to take forward its responsibilities. But we do so in caution and impressing upon the Department of Rural Development to provide support, to closely monitor the functionality so that at the earliest signs of this functionality, the necessary support can be provided. We believe that henceforth compliance with its own constitution and the Act will improve. In fact, it has in the last 2 years. The membership update has been conducted, and the CPA currently has duly elected members and the executive committee. And in terms of the responsibilities of the CPA towards the Rachtersveld municipality, the municipality had been billing the CPA via the department to no avail because of the contestation of some of the ERVN and services and the billing. However, we can report that as recently as March, the Department of Rural Development was able to disburse an amount of 12 million to the local municipality on behalf of the CPA as part of the municipal services. Now, we've identified, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, some of the work that needed to move faster and has not moved as fast as it needed to do, primarily because of various factors, contest between Alex Gore and the municipality and other players that needed to come on board. So we are identifying this to apprise the committee on these challenges, but also to say there's a process that will then continue to begin to address some of these challenges. One, of course, is the role of the outstanding matters is the role of Alex Gore in ensuring successful execution. I think further engagement is required with Alex Gore to make sure that the company enables a successful conclusion of this process to protect the municipality and other recipients of unnecessary costs. We want to ensure that the state saves as much cost as possible by expediting this process as soon as possible. But as I indicated, sometimes Alex Gore would then come and plead poverty, understandably so, because the commodity that they trade in fluctuates in terms of value that they are able to get. However, the municipality cannot be held to ransom by the goings on at Alex Gore. We believe that the government collectively must come on board to ensure that there's conclusion of this process. Earlier on, Honorable Mgiva and members, I made reference to the issue of electricity supply and power supply to the municipality. This is one of the sticky points in terms of the handover of assets. Remember when a mining company sets up an electricity provision facility capability supported by ESCOM, they do that to the minimum that they require, but not to the minimum that is required for public services in terms of the municipal services. And therefore, our inspection that was conducted by MISA with the department and the district did indicate that there are some substandard facilities that were operated by the company, which now the municipality has to be taking over. We then have proposed that ESCOM must come and do a quality assurance to ensure that when these facilities are transferred, they are at the required level of a national electricity provision grid as required by ESCOM and NERSA. And we are emphasizing this matter, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, because in the Northern Cape and in that particular district in particular, we have had experiences of these kinds of handovers, although they were to a lesser extent, to a smaller scale, where electricity infrastructure was just dumped with the municipalities, which are now currently experiencing problems with that because ESCOM had not done a prior inspection process and compliance assurance on those electricity infrastructure gadgets. So we really want to impress upon ESCOM to do that, and we task that the Office of the Premier as tasked would be leading this process to its conclusion. It has not been concluded. The functionality of the CPA, I think I've already spoken at length around that, Honourable Chair and members. Its stability is important for the successful conclusion of this deed of settlement, and to ensure that the economic benefits envisaged for the people of Namaqualand and Rachtersveld as a region are realized. I think I've already spoken to that point. The other difficult part, and I think I made a reference to that, Honorable Chair, is the deed of settlement as it sits, and therefore the need for it to be amended. We have come across evidence that indicates, for example, and I've already indicated that the deed of settlement transfers some properties and assets to people who may not necessarily need them, or who may not necessarily have the authority to utilize them, unlike when they were utilized by Alex Gore. I have already given the example of residential units which used to house teachers and staff members of the school, transfer of those units to the Department of Education. Our view is that the Department of Education does not need to be running those residential units, and therefore they could be assigned to an entity that could be of better benefit to them. I have already indicated the example of the handing over of the fire station to the CPA. Our view is that there might be a need to review the deed of settlement with a view to enhance it rather than to diminish it. As I indicated, the Premier's office has been tasked to lead that. The last one is the supporting the continuous development of Rachtersveld beyond the life of mining. It is going to be important, we believe, that particularly as COCTA, we need to continue leveraging on the district development development model to advance the socioeconomic development of the region. And therefore, discussions on the longer-term sustainability of Rachtersveld municipality and the creation of a viable and socioeconomic sustainable economic future for the region must already begin urgently. And I will speak to that in brief, I think in the last slide, last two slides or so. Yes. Yes, Chair, as I indicated, the next two slides just seek to apprise members of this August committee of the importance, the geostrategic importance of this area, of Rachtersveld, but also of Namaqua as a district, or Namaqua land as a region. So as you can see from the depiction of the map, Alexander Bay is just sitting at the mouth of the Orange River, bordering Namibia, both to the east and to the north. To the south. And Rachtersveld, as part of the provincial longer-term development framework, but also as part of the DDM, Rachtersveld is earmarked for a massive natural deep sea port, deep sea harbor development, which is going to be located at Buhubai in the arid Namaqua coastline. So that Buhubai is, as you can see, is between Port Nolos and Alexander Bay, which is on the coastline, which is going to be located within this municipality. And therefore, it is going to be important that all the affected departments do the most that they are able to do to strengthen the municipality and its capacity, so that when these developments become a reality, they do not find a struggling municipality, but they can find a thriving municipality which is able to stand on its own. And therefore, the transfer is important in the sense that the transfer of assets must strengthen the municipality as opposed to weaken it. And I indicate here that this project is already in the planning phase, fairly advanced, And it is envisaged that this will create a lot of work jobs in that area in thousands and will serve as an enabler for further development of both the region and the Northern Cape. This development is estimated at about 40 billion and could anchor the transformation of the landscape of both the province and the Namakwa region. The second big development geostrategically for this region and for this municipality is that Sasol, the petroleum company, has signed a memorandum of agreement with the Northern Cape Economic Development Trade and Promotion Agency to lead the feasibility study to explore potential of an export hub for green hydrogen and ammonia. And the export hub would also be located at that deep sea port as identified by Sasol, and which will then bring additional economic benefit, but also responsibility in terms of the standard of services, roads provision, infrastructure provision, and so on and so forth. You can already imagine that the traffic, just the road traffic from that area will increase, therefore requiring regular update of roads and so on and so forth. There's going to be this planned railroad by Transnet from that area to go up north to Postmasburg, but also finally up to Saldanha Bay. So the Bugbai Green Hydrogen Development has been designated as a SIP strategic integrated project, and is linked to the Namakwa Special Economic Zone, which is located in Pof Adder, nearer to Pof Adder in Achenes. If you can see that map properly, where you've got the N14, exactly where you've got that designation of N14, that's where the NSEZ is located, in the Achenes area. And therefore, when these things come to fruition, they will bear great benefit, but they will also bear great responsibility for this municipality, and therefore ongoing support would be required for this municipality. And this is my last slide, which speaks to the support that is currently undertaken or planned for the municipality to make sure that it stands in good stead for that geostrategic positioning, so that it is in a better position when these developments come there. We have continued to support this municipality as COPTA through the MIG grant for them to service the priorities identified in their IDP, and to make sure that those service delivery priorities are achieved. They have received funds for this current financial year for a waste treatment works, which is now in phase two. And the MIG verification process indicates that this project is progressing well. But we can also indicate that through the support that MISA has been providing to this municipality, their performance in terms of the expenditure of the infrastructure grants has improved in the current year, which is a positive. The second aspect there, in terms of support for the municipality, in terms of national government, Restaurant has been included together with other municipalities in that district in what we call the Karoo Small Towns Regeneration Program. I made reference to it earlier on, which is spearheaded by SALGA. And we believe that this inclusion will enhance the development potential of these towns in the municipality, in the district, in the region, and promote sustainable development at the social level, environmental level, as well as economic level in the long term. And therefore, as COCTA, we commit to continue to engage with SALGA on the support to this municipality under this program, to make sure that its capability is strengthened rather than weakened. The Rachtersveld municipality also stands to benefit from government program on the revitalization of distressed mining towns or mining communities. This program seeks to diversify local and regional economies beyond just mining activities. And I think I made reference to that earlier on. As a mining area, this place has only been relying on a single economic activity of mining, while other sectors with great potential, such as agriculture and marine economy-based economies, has been neglected. And therefore, through this program of revitalization of distressed mining communities, we've got to accelerate the support that is provided. It is still at an elementary level in terms of supporting this specific municipality. And therefore, a commitment that we make is that we need to get closer to Rechtersveld to ensure that greater benefit accrues to it from this national government's program. COGTA will also support the municipality to address the misalignment that we often experience between the IDPs and the social labor plans, which are experienced often by similar municipalities which are located in mining areas, with a view to ensure that both the IDP and the social labor plan contribute to the social economic and infrastructure development of the area and people.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yes, Chairperson, we are at the end. Therefore, we are recommending that this Honorable Committee on Public Enterprises and Communication notes the progress with regards to the technical transfer from AlexCorp and also notes the remaining tasks and challenges that need to be addressed through the transfer process. And we also want to recommend that the established project steering committee led by the Premier's office be requested to oversee the completion of this transfer process. We are making this recommendation, this last one, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, because since August 2019, the Premier's office through the Office of the Director General then took over the convening of the committees to execute the mandate that was given to us in 2017. And that transitional process has come with its own challenges in terms of slow pace and breaking the consistency that we experienced previously when this process was led by NISA. And therefore, we want to believe that if in the view of provincial government, it is the Premier's office that needs to be coordinating this. There has to be an understanding at the level of this committee that is the case based on what was communicated to us by the Premier's office, so that the responsibility also of reporting must also be borne jointly by the Premier's office. I just thought I should give what context to that last recommendation, Honorable Chair. I want to thank you very much. We are at the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Is that it? Honorable members, that's the presentation, and I think now is the time to engage with the presentation, and then I will take the hands of the members that want to raise issues, please. The Secretariat must please help me with the hands. I have a difficult year because I'm load shedding.
It's Honorable Bibi, Chair.
Go ahead, Honorable Bibi.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to the officials that are here. Chairperson, I've got two questions. The first one, am I audible, Chairperson? Am I audible, Chair?
You are.
I can hear you clearly, Mama Bibi. You can go ahead.
Okay, Baba Zungbona Kenya. Okay, thanks, Mama. So the first question, Chairperson, would be, it is apparent to me that the completion of this deed of settlement will require the active participation of all the relevant stakeholders. Meaning, Chairperson, meaning that your department, that of Public and Enterprise, the Department of Culture, and amongst others. Now, my question, therefore, is how often do you meet as key stakeholders to ensure that there's progress in the implements of the deed of settlement? My second question, Chairperson, will be with regards to the outstanding issues. Do you have a time frame as to when those remaining issues will be completed, or to complete them also depends on the role of other departments? Thank you, Chairperson. Those were my two questions.
Thank you very much. Can I now give the opportunity to the Honorable Nana? Honorable Nana, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Chairman. I'm at the basement. I'm wondering if you are able to hear me clearly. Hello?
I can hear you, Honorable Nana. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Tony, for the opportunity. Chairman, very clearly, there is progress that has been realized since we last met with COCTA. And I do think it's something that needs to be commended. Secondly, those who have a background in the inner workings of the CA in Rustenburg will agree with the department that more support is required so that the CPA can function optimally. But my discomfort with what has been presented by the department is that the gentleman who presented, if I heard him correctly, he said they've got a mechanism to detect early signs of problems within the CPA. From where I am sitting, Chairman, I think that it's a good idea, but I don't think it's good enough. I would really have wished the department to rather have a proactive initiative in this regard. It could be in a form of training the CPA in conflict management and dispute resolution and other requirements that they may have, that they may need. So as for them not to reach even the tipping point insofar as problems are concerned. Thirdly, Chairperson, I'm really pleased with the progress that has been made, but I would want to request your good office to really consider us going to Alexco. I know we have been talking about this for quite a while. Consider going to Alexco and then see for ourselves and hear the community of Rustenburg. And lastly, there is an issue which I would want us not to lose sight of. The department, in its parting shot, has pulled in the involvement of the government of the Northern Cape. I do think, Chairman, as a committee, we must find a way of getting closer to the Premier's office of Northwest, Northern Cape, so that we and them can find one another in the same way in which we've been trying to find one another with COCTA. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana, for that intervention. And I want now to give the opportunity to Honorable Modise. Honorable Modise, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me greet my colleagues in the meeting. Also greet the department. Chair, I've got two questions here that I want to raise and welcome the report itself and says indeed there is a progress since the last time we met with this entity. Chair, my two questions are as follows. Is there any money owed for the Richtersveld community by the department in terms of the deed of settlement? If yes, how was the money has been spent to date? And there are any still remaining, how will it be spent? The second one is one of the conditions of the deed of settlement was the rehabilitation of the land around which diamond mining was taking place. Has the rehabilitation of the land been completed? Those are the two questions, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Modise, for that. I don't see any other member with a hand raised. If there is another member, he can just indicate maybe by saying it on the mic. Okay, Honorable Gause, over to you. The floor is yours.
Chairperson, when your hand also is up.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the presentation to the department. And Chair, having heard everything that has been said by this department and having gotten the explanation that this project now lies within the parameters of the Northern Cape provincial government, I would really love to support Honorable Nana in the move that the committee members need to go together with the provincial government of the Northern Cape to see for themselves in Richtersveld so that we do not receive conflicting information from time to time. Let us initiate this move that we go there, meet whoever is involved in the Richtersveld settlement resettlement and hear for ourselves. This matter has been dragging for quite some time. And I think with us as a select committee, at some point, we are failing the very same process of making sure that these communities receive what is due to them. It's supported in their resettlement. So that is my contribution, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mgause. I will now hand over to Honorable Ngwenya. Honorable Ngwenya.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Chair. And also thank you for the representation. Chairperson, my question are as follows. I want to check the 12 million bill that was paid by the Department of COCTA to the municipality on behalf of the CPA. Did it cover all the cost of the CPA? That's my question. Then second question, Chair, I want to check, does the municipality has the capacity to deliver service to the community of Richards Vale with regarding to the infrastructure which has been handed over to it? And the third question, Chair, I want to check, who does the CPA account to and who oversee it performance? And I wanted to check whether other stakeholders, such as the South African Police Services, has been engaged regarding transfer of proper of state, such as the police station. With regard a chair to areas of implementation of the memorandum of agreement, I wanted to check if those areas have been implemented. If no, which are still outstanding? Last question, Chair. On the recommendation, who has to request the project steering committee of the Premier's office to oversee the implementation of the transfer process? Thanks, Chair Ngiyabonga.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Ngwenya. Thank you, honorable members. I will just ask a few questions as well, and then hand over to the department to tackle all those questions. My question is that what was the reasoning of doing a handover to the Office of the Premier before the actual implementation, completion of the process of transfer? That's my first question. Well, what is the rationale? Is it not going to create a situation of, regression? And if not, what informs that it will ensure progression to the level where we as the committee would like to see this happening within a short space of time? The second thing is that in the intervening period of the transfer, which has taken so much to this far, I just want to have an understanding that are there no natural resources or mineral resources that are being exploited there? If they are, is there a meaningful participation of the community members of this area? And the third question is the third question is linked to what Mamu Ngwenya had asked, and it relates to the custodianship. As I hear you, you were expressing some doubts in terms of the credibility and the legitimacy of the CPA to be ultimately be the holder of the custodianship of this place. Can you then give us clarity and assurance that there will be checks and balances once the process is completed, and that there will be no issues which will ensue that can divide the community there? And are there any measures that have been put in place to ensure that there are controls and systems to ensure that once that community assumes, the leadership status of managing that entire landmass and the assets, that there is clear leadership plan, as it were, where they are going to abide by standard operating procedures that are linked to similar projects elsewhere in the country. That was my last question, and I also wish to appreciate that what has been presented to us is quite comforting, and we can see that so much work has gone in and that there is much progress that has been made. But we are quite eager to ensure that at the end of the day, we see the completion of the project. My only worry is the initial question that I hope that COGTA is not passing the buck by sending the final lab to the Premier's office. I hope that will not spoil the traction that we have observed thus far. I think we will give you an opportunity then to deal with all the questions that have been raised by the members. We hand over to you to deal with those. Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members for these valuable questions and inputs that have come from yourselves. I am going to ask Mr. Murwane, after I have finished, to respond to the question of Honorable Modise on the rehabilitation of the land around the mine. I suspect he will have a better and more reliable response to that. So I will ask them to assist with that. Well, Honorable Chair and members, let me start here and say previously this committee would have invited ourselves, the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, the Department of Public Enterprises, and the Northern Cape Provincial Government, either represented by COGTA, which is the department responsible for local government, or by the Premier's office. And how it that arrangement also assisted Honorable Mkiba is that because the work that is generated by the deed of settlement affects various departments and entities. When some questions would be more appropriate to this department or that department or that other department, and in their presence they would be able to then respond. Of course, that is not an excuse. All I'm saying is that it has always helped at least us as COGTA to do that. Let me start with the questions. I think the first one came from Honorable Nana. The second one, obviously, from Honorable Chairperson on the CPA. The responsible department for the management, oversight, financing, functionality of the CPA, the responsible department is the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. We have apprised this committee on the progress around the CPA, firstly because we believe it has a critical role to play in the success of the execution of the deed of settlement. It is not within the responsibility of the Department of Cooperative Governance. However, representing the interests of these departments, we have to seek progress from them on this particular matter. And I there are other questions that are saying who must resource them and so on and so forth. In my discussions with them in preparation for this engagement, they did assure us that they have a system with which they monitor CPAs across the country, including this one of Rachtersveld, and therefore of coming up with support mechanisms to stabilize these CPAs where there are challenges. It is for this reason that they went the route of a judicial administration for which they sought authority from the Northern Cape High Court to prevent legal contestations. So assurance from them is that they do have a mechanism, and what they have just instituted between February 2020 and February 2023 for us is evidence that they are supporting. CPAs are very complex organisms, honorable members, because of interests that are often at play. And in this particular community, because there's so much resources with mining companies also set up by the deed of settlement, it complicates the stability of the CPA even more. However, we will continue together with the department concerned to monitor this functionality and to return to this committee and provide progress on the functionality and the stability of the CPA. And with that, I'm almost suggesting that it would be ideal when they are also part of the briefing in the next engagement. That was on the CPA. Yeah, the rehabilitation, I requested Nisa to assist with that. Now to the first and I think primary question of Honorable Mkiva. We were given the responsibility as COGTA in 2017 to run with this process. And between the beginning of 2018 and I think it was May 2019, we were meeting on a quarterly basis to take stock of work that would have been assigned to various players, to compile a report that goes to the project steering committee, which is headed by the Premier's office. And then around June, July 2019, there was a move from provincial government to say henceforth, they will continue to coordinate and convene the engagements. We understood them to be saying that intervention would speed up processes. That was understanding as COGTA and MISA. At that time, we had assigned an engineer from MISA to coordinate the task team to be full-time seized with this responsibility. And unfortunately, around the time that the Premier's office also took over, the contract of this individual came to an end. And we were not able to get a favorable assignment from the side of COGTA MISA for that process. Now, I'm not so sure, Chair, as to whether the view of Premier's office was that we were slow or there were other things that were involved. I am none the wiser. All that I can say, which is why we are making the recommendation number four, or is it three, the last recommendation rather, is that because of the directive of this committee from February 2018 to May 2019, we sat on this project with a full-time person who coordinates this, which is why we were able to generate the progress that we did. In fact, it's 1.5 years. It's not even 2 years. It's 1.5 year. And then, of course, the Premier's office took over, and then there was COVID, and then and so on and so forth. And I suspect we have not seen the benefits that we would have seen compared to when we had the initial arrangement, which were mandated by this committee, which is why, Honorable Chair, we would humbly request that an engagement of some kind takes place. Maybe it could happen when the oversight visit happens, or at the discretion of this honorable committee, to then maybe make a follow-up. Maybe the Premier's office had a good reason, we do not know. It was not clearly expressed or communicated to us. What we can say is that some work has been continuing with them in the steering wheel between 2020-2021 to date. I'm not sure what the frequency of the meetings of that structure is. So basically that is the point that we are making. We are saying if in the wisdom of provincial government they would have driven this thing at their level and maybe faster, then that rationale must be provided to the committee. I think the early warning signs of the CPA by Honorable Nana, I think I've already responded to that. There is a mechanism, we are assured, by the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. The question of Honorable Nguyenya on the 12 million, whether it covered all the costs that were required. I need to apologize to this Honorable Committee that I would need to do follow up on this one, because that one is specifically our responsibility. I would need to verify with the municipality to check what is it that the municipality had billed the CPA, and whether this 12 million is the total amount that was owed to the municipality or not. I therefore would plead with Honorable Chair and Honorable Members that we go back and verify this matter of the bill, and then come back to yourselves with an answer. If it is permissible, we could provide a written answer to that question of 12 million out of fear of misleading this committee. So if Honorable Chair and members would allow it, we would request to come back to the committee with more reliable response on that particular question. Is the Rachtersveld municipality able to deliver services? Yes, it is able to deliver services. It is a municipality that struggles like other municipalities, but with support from sector departments, water affairs, ourselves, environment and treasury, they are able to provide services. However, the challenges of poverty and unemployment, as it affects many municipalities, are also touching on this municipality. That is the reason why we want to ensure, Honorable Nguyenya, that when the municipality takes over the services of Alexander Bay, the services of Alexander Bay do not become a burden on the municipality, and therefore will not affect the capacity of the municipality to deliver services. The transfer must enhance that capacity such that even the people of Alexander Bay will receive the required standard of municipal services from Rachtersveld. That is the case. The question also of Honorable Nguyenya on the police station, I know that discussions had been going on, particularly with Public Works, because Public Works manages the buildings that are utilized by the various departments. However, again, I will just need to verify that one of the police station, just to check how far that process is, and then we could include that answer also in the response to Honorable Nguyenya on the 12 million, if that is also available. I'm also reluctant to give an off-the-cuff response in terms of the last update that we had. I would just need to verify that. Honorable Modise, is there any money owed to the municipality by Alex Kor or by any player of the state. Also, that one we would need to come back to ourselves. I think DPE, unless DPE is able to respond to that, just to take stock of the various funds that would be owed to the both the CPA and the community, but as well as the municipality as a result of the deed of settlement. There was a point at which we had quantified that, which was back in 2018. That will obviously have changed. And again, we would then request to get back to you on that. Again, out of fear of misleading the committee, we would need to go and do more work on the monies that are owed in terms of the question that Honorable Moody's had requested. I think the question of Honorable David, I had responded to say, between that period of 2018, 2019, we were meeting quarterly, sometimes even more quarterly. We would sometimes meet in Upington, other times in Kimberley where the stakeholders are, but twice or thrice we met in the area itself and the municipality. In fact, there was a point at which we met with the Executive Council of the province in Rakkersveld itself. So that the frequency back then was quarterly at the barest minimum. The outstanding issue, Honorable Bebet, we did have a process plan. And according to the process plan, a lot of these outstanding issues were assigned to be completed by 2020, 2021. Now, clearly, we have not even complied with our own process plan because of the various challenges that are some of which I have already indicated. But the commitment that we make is that we will accelerate work that is continuing so that this process can be completed and the people of Rakkersveld can then benefit. I think Honorable Mkiva, I think I've covered on the custodianship of the place and whether the CPA is the lawful custodian. We are not in doubt about that one, Honorable Chair. All we are saying is that for the full benefit of this deed of settlement to accrue to the people of Rakkersveld, the CPA is a central player, and therefore it is important that they come alive to that responsibility and deal with some of the other challenges, political and otherwise, that prevail within the CPA and its membership, to ensure that the spirit and the letter of this deed of settlement is realized. The deed of settlement assigns the custodianship of the place to the CPA to the extent that it does, and therefore we are not in questioning that. All we were questioning, or rather all we are expressing, is a concern that when the custodian of the restored land is in disarray, is dysfunctional, then it is unlikely that the benefits will accrue to the community that is supposed to accrue to. The economic benefits also, there's a structure of companies and corporations that are created through the deeds of settlement, which have got various degrees of benefit to the communities and the entities. And I think DPE would be in a better position, whether now or in future, to I think DPE and land reform, to begin to say this was a company that was set up by the deed of settlement. These were supposed to be the members. These were the participants in that company, and these were the supposed beneficiaries. There is such kind of a scheme that we can provide. But as I say, between the DPE and the Department of Rural Development, they would be in a better position to respond to that. So all in all, we are saying, Honorable Chair, Honorable Namas, is that I think this committee would benefit from all of us being in the same room. Alex Kaur, DPE, COCTA, the municipal, well, the provincial government, as well as land reform, for us to be able to account for each one of our responsibilities in terms of the deed of settlement, Chair. I will end at that. I hope I have covered the bulk of the questions. Maybe we can request Mr. Mrwani to speak to the rehabilitation of the land, if DPE is able to provide responses to any of the questions, then maybe they could come on board. Thank you very much, Honorable Mkif.
No, thank you very much, sir. I don't see anyone wanting to support you on the answering of the question. I assume then that's the completion of the responses. Honorable members, I think that's where we are. I think these issues are never exhaustive, and let's just ensure that the department makes the point that this matter is brought to completion. Even if they are going to do the work now at arm's length, they must make sure that the process of the transfer, which is going to happen under the stewardship of the Premier's office, is not left unattended. The department is still responsible as a national instrument to ensure that that process is brought into completion. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the senior officials of the department led by the DDG for this briefing, and it is helpful to keep us appraised of the developments that are happening. So that as we exercise oversight, we see progress within that framework. So we are grateful and we are thankful. And as I say, just keep watch and ensure that that process actually goes to fruition. Thank you very much. We will release you at this point, and we shall continue with our meeting. We still have another item on the agenda. We'll give you just 1 minute so that you can then log off, so that you leave us and deal with our matters, which are in a closed session, so to say.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. My sincere apology for not raising my hand, but I wanted to just also pass my greetings to yourself and to the honorable members of the committee and our deputy minister in absentia, and thank the team for the presentation. We noted the comments, honorable chair and honorable members, and should the trip materialize, we would really like to be part of that trip as well. And honorable chair, I will also request the team to just revise the presentation and include some items that we spoke to but were not covered. You heard our presenter indicated that there were certain items, for example, meters being installed, certain questions that you requested that Chief Director Ramadi requested to go find out and give properly researched response that we come back to you in the next 7 days with that response. We also noted your concerns, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, about our last recommendation, which I will request Mr. Ramadi to check through to the newly appointed DG. We have a newly appointed DG as well, Chair, who will brief the Honorable Minister and the Honorable Deputy Ministers. So, Chair, in closing, I really thank you very much for the opportunity, and we will then exit the meeting. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honorable Members.
Pleasure, sir. Thank you. You are welcome, sir. Honorable Members, we will then go to the second item, where we are considering the adoption of the minutes of the meeting, which was held on the 26th of April, 2023, where we were receiving a briefing by ESCOM on the tariff increases for the financial year 2023-2024. Can you please flight the minutes? And these minutes, members, have been shared with all of us via our email addresses. And I think that the details entailed in the minutes are still quite fresh in our mind, given the fact that this meeting took place just a week and a half ago. There is the first page with the credentials of the attendees of the meeting. Can you go down? Those are the credentials of attendees, including the staff of Parliament. The opening remarks by the chairperson and the acknowledgement of the honorable members, the deputy minister who was present. And then the opening remarks by the deputy minister as he was making the first appearance here. And he also acknowledged the presence of the chairperson of ESCOM. The briefing by the department, which was led by the acting DG, Mr. Khalid Kasim, and explained the decision by the regulator. Go down. And the rationale behind the increases and the steps undertaken by the department in the processing of this increment. Then point number four is on deliberation, members, where the honorable members were asking critical questions to the department and ESCOM management and board, as well as questions of clarity. And the responses are also outlined with the deputy minister leading those responses, chairman of ESCOM, the general manager responsible for regulation, the issues that are related to theft, as well as the acting chief financial officer telling us about the revenue streams that flow from all the businesses that ESCOM accrue those resources, including the minutes of the 22nd of March. You just have to correct there. Instead of saying 22 March 2002, you must say 22 March 2023. You make that correction. And if any other correction that you see, which is either grammatical or a misprint, you will deal with it. Honorable members, I now put those minutes before you. Is there a member that wants to raise a query or a question or point out to a mistake or something? If not, I will ask for members to move for the adoption of the members. We need a mover and a seconder in order to officially adopt this minute.
Chairperson, it's BB. I move for the adoption of the minute. Thank you.
Member, Honorable BB is moving for the adoption of the minute. Anyone
want Honorable Mamrabela. Honorable Mamrabela
is seconding the adoption of the minute. That being the case, the minutes of the 26th of April 2023 are duly adopted as a true reflection of the meeting that was held by us on that day. Thank you very much, honorable members. Let me take this opportunity now at this juncture to express my appreciation for always making time to be part of these important meetings as we do our work. And most importantly, I wish to express my deepfelt gratitude for your deliberation and for asking difficult questions in order to ensure that every work that is done by the executive is enriched and is taken through quality assurance to ensure that our communities at the end of the day, they get what they deserve. And it is our duty to ensure that we do that critical work and strategic work. Thank you very much, members. I will now declare this meeting duly adjourned and allow you to go back to your desk and continue with your work in your offices. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Have a lovely afternoon.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Mama.
So, Mama.
Yeah, Mama. So we are buying the one food.
And Fisilu, Tobinagi, influence Nam Namanje.
We are born to go to Itula and feel a lap a can.
Hello, how are you going? We ask God to show.